Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about some Cargill Veterans Initiatives, meet the VFW Department Commander, get an update from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, and celebrate 8 years of Minnesota Military Radio. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
With the 2018 elections right around the corner, I want to remind service members and veterans to exercise their civic duty and vote. The Department of Defense encourages all members of the armed forces to carry out the obligations of citizenship, but it's important for service members in a duty status to remember a few things. Service members are not authorized to engage in partisan political activity and should avoid inferences that their political activities imply or appear to imply official sponsorship, approval, or endorsement of a party or candidate. Regardless of your political affiliations or preferences, I encourage everyone to take advantage of their right to vote this election season.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Cargill Yellow Ribbon Network and a lot of other veteran initiatives over at Cargill is Jason McBurley. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's great to be here.
All right. Good to have you back in the studio, sir. And for our listeners that maybe aren't familiar with you, can you tell them a little bit about your time in the service? I know you started out in that red color. Marines? Is that a Marine?
Yeah, that seems like forever ago. But yes, I started out in the Marine Corps and worked my way through multiple services. We were talking about this the other day. I started as an active duty Marine, went to the Air Force Reserve for a short stint, and then finished out my career about another 17 years with the Minnesota Army National Guard.
And the last position you held was Public Affairs Officer for the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, and we know that they just send about 650 people. They're on the way to the deserts of Kuwait.
Yeah, they sure are. So it's another great deployment of the famed Red Bulls, and I'm sure they're going to have another successful tour in Southeast Asia.
I'm sure they are, and as you and I have talked, we're going to have regular checkups with them because our producer, Sergeant Ben Houtkooper, is over there with some equipment, so we'll have Red Bull updates every month. We'll follow that deployment and see what they're doing. But we want to talk about Cargill today. Cargill became a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. How long ago?
So I was just looking at that. I think we're about in our fifth year. So we established our Veterans and Military Support Network in 2014. And it was based on the criteria for becoming a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. And so that criteria moved us forward into developing our own internal network, which we hadn't had prior to the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
And some of those commitments there are to help support the Guard and Reserve forces that may work for Cargill and their families if they're deployed, and some of that is a commitment to hire veterans.
It is. The mission of the Veterans and Military Support Network at Cargill is to recognize, recruit, and retain military service members and veterans. And so one of our largest topics and one of our greatest efforts is around hiring and finding great veterans and service members to serve with us at Cargill.
And, of course, Cargill's got facilities all over Minnesota and really all over the country, don't they?
Well, it's the reason why we're here, really. There's 155,000 employees across 70 countries. But as it relates to the radio, we just went through the list of where our stations are located, and they cover about 15 or 16 different locations that we have across the state of Minnesota. Our headquarters is obviously here in Minneapolis, but we have production facilities all throughout the state, everywhere from Pipestone, Minnesota, St. Cloud, Monticello, just, pick a place across the state of Minnesota, and we have a facility that this listenership is nearby.
So our network of stations fits pretty well with the Cargill imprint across Minnesota.
Well, they certainly nest over each other, and I would suspect that a listener of this show on one of those stations is likely at harvest right now, probably this weekend, Sunday morning. So we've got our farmer customers that are listening to this program that we hope, are enjoying the programming and are loading up a grain cart to take it over to a Cargill elevator.
And Jason, Cargill also is a member of the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, and you've won some awards there.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate through the diligent and hard work of a lot of our membership in the VMSN to have won a very prestigious award, the Freedom Award, which is the highest award from ESGR. Multiple other awards through throughout the years, but we were pretty proud of the culmination of that effort in the Freedom Award last year.
And you mentioned the VMS, that's the Cargill Veteran and Military Support Network?
That's right. That's correct.
And that's a group of veterans within Cargill that come together to do some things like support the ESGR. I think you participate in American Corporate Partners?
Yeah, so as we said VMSN, importantly, is a group of Cargill employees, veterans and non-veterans, that seek to support military service members and veterans. And one of the initiatives that we've been enjoying over the last two or three years is our partnership with American Corporate Partners. We're the only subscriber to American Corporate Partners, which is a mentor-mentee program. And we host on a yearly basis a mixer, and it has people from, you know, obviously Cargill, 3M, U.S. Bank, UPS, Boston Scientific, XL Energy, Metro. So it's the veritable who's who of Minnesota businesses that get together. And we're really proud to bring all those folks together for a military mixer night where we introduce veterans and service members to great organizations throughout Minneapolis.
And you mentioned mentoring, and what that's for is to help transitioning military when they come out of the military and go into civilian employment. Your organization, Cargill, and many others help to mentor those service members so that they can feel better about what they need to do and how to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's one of the most difficult parts of the military to civilian workforce transition, trying to explain what you've done, the skill set that you possess, and how you can translate that into civilian occupations and employment. So it's a great group. We have many mentors in Cargill that are working with transitioning service members, and we've had great success of hiring, I think, two or three folks out of the ACP program, the mentees that have come to work for us. So super program, one that we're really excited about, and along with many others. Like this radio program, for one.
Well, we're pleased, very pleased, to have Cargill be the title sponsor for Minnesota Military Radio and help us get word about all of the veteran organizations and all of the support groups there are for our military and their families. Now, I think you told me you've got an event coming up early in November with the Alliance for Veterans.
Yeah, so we have a really interesting new opportunity with a partner of ours, one of our customers, Nestle, who you may have heard of, who is starting an Opportunity Alliance. And this Opportunity Alliance brings together national organizations to talk about the exact same thing we just said about ACP, which is how do we attract and hire more service members and veterans. So we're heading out to D.C. The 6th of November, and we'll meet with this group and work through some panels and try to take best practices from other organizations across the country.
One of the many things you do there and through the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon corporate group, you also meet a couple times a year and trade best practices with other corporations in Minnesota that are part of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
Yeah, I think our membership with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon as a corporate member has really allowed us to align with other businesses and corporations in Minneapolis that we might not have otherwise done. So, and it's a great opportunity to share those best practices in a healthy environment where we're non-competitive. We're really looking for the same things. We're just trying to identify and hire good people. And those good people can come from the services and from our veterans.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, Jason's going to introduce another veteran as a member who works over at Cargill. So please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we've been visiting with Jason McBurley from Cargill, and we've been talking about the fact that Cargill became a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company a few years back. They have a veteran and military support network. They're a big supporter of the ESGR, employer support of the Guard and Reserve, and a lot of stuff going on over at Cargill. But Jason, you brought a special guest with you today who has an important job over at Cargill. Do you want to introduce her?
Yeah, absolutely, indeed. I mean, as you're aware, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon criteria say specifically, you know, you have to have a route to veterans employment. And so that, for us, is our military sorcerer. And so we brought Sheila Jessen from our talent acquisition group to talk to us a little bit about what we're doing in and around military recruiting.
Sheila, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Now, I understand you served in the military for quite a few years.
I did. So I served 21 years. And like Jason, I jumped around a little bit. So I started out active duty as an 18-year-old as a Russian linguist in the active duty Air Force. Then I got out, took a 10-year break, and then went back into the Minnesota Army National Guard. And I was a stranger in a strange land. I had a lot to learn about the Army, but it was a great experience. And then I switched over to the Air Guard, got back to my blue roots, and then finished out in 2012 as a recruiting supervisor over there.
Well, I can tell you've got the air in your heart, so
yeah.
Welcome to the show, and it's good to have another airman here in the studio. Now, a military sorcerer at Cargill. First off, how did you get to Cargill? How did you choose Cargill from all of the things you might have been able to do when you transitioned from the military?
Yeah, so I really have recruiting in my blood, but it wasn't a straight line to Cargill, and a lot of veterans' faces when they separate, they kind of have to meander around and make some mistakes before they find the right path. And so I'm certainly one of those. But I know that when I was doing my job search, I was really focused on a company with a great mission. That was important to me because I really had to believe in my mission as a military recruiter to be able to sell it. And so I think that integrity and mission was important to me. So looking for a company that had a good mission and a great set of values. And when I learned about Cargill, I realized that their mission is to feed the world. I can get behind that. And then they're also doing it with integrity. So they have a set of 7 business principles that really align nicely with my military core values. So that's what really made it a fit for me.
So just like when you were recruiting, when you were in the military, now you believe in Cargill, and if you believe in their mission and their program, must make you more believable when you talk to potential veterans that might want to join.
Absolutely. And I think also it resonates with veterans. So when they find that Cargill is the kind of company that's working with integrity and has great values, they want to be a part of that because they join the military to serve and you know, serve others, and Cargill's another way to do that.
Well, in today's tight job market, I'm sure Cargill's looking to hire quite a few people because, as Jason said, they're not only all over Minnesota, they're all over the country, they're all over the world. You must have quite a few spots to fill.
Absolutely. Just yesterday, I was looking at the list in Minnesota, and there's 211 jobs open at Cargill right now. But across the country, there's probably close to 1,000. And so it is a talent war right now. Unemployment is at a historic low. And so we really, it's not just a do a veteran a favor and hire them. We need their talent. We need their experience to help Cargill be the best.
So how do you focus to try to find veterans? Do you try to align by the job opportunities that are open and try to tie that into military experience?
Yeah. In the work that I do, I really try to take each veteran as they come. So each one of them has their own personal career goals and aspirations and background. So trying to help them discover where they fit in the organization.
So how's it going? How are the veterans reacting when you find them and show them an opportunity at such a great, long-standing company as Cargill?
It's going great. I mean, we're definitely having some success in the veteran space. I think there's a lot to learn on both sides. It's a communication and a bridge to help veterans understand how to sell their skill sets and help hiring managers understand the value that they can bring to the table.
Now, the veterans that you do bring to Cargill, they come in and hopefully they've gotten some discipline from being in the military. Some of them have been off to war. They're coming back, and it's a civilian job in a civilian workplace. Nobody's shooting at them, and I'll bet they put in a really good day's work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the soft skills that veterans come with that aren't even on the job description are the accountability, the focus on the mission, the leadership capacity. So all of those extra things that they bring to the table really help them be a great employee at Cargill.
Jason, I think Cargill's found a great military sorcerer here. She sounds like she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, so Sheila not only knows the military, she knows our business very well. And so that helps on both sides of that equation, as she suggested, helping the veteran explain their talents, capabilities, and skill sets, and helping people like me and others in positions like mine that are hiring people to get to the right people and ask the right questions so that we can find the talent that we're looking for.
So, Jason, once she brings in these veterans, does the Cargill Veteran and Military Support Network help these new employees of Cargill transition into the job?
Yeah, that's a really big part about what our local chapters do with individuals that we bring into the organization. So it gives them a place where they can experience the camaraderie of the past, talk with people that kind of speak the same language, and they can be comfortable in kind of their past experience and where they're sitting. And that helps bridge them into the organization and into the civilian workforce.
Sheila, it's got to be comforting to you. You spent all that time in the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. When you came to Cargill, there's a lot of other folks that were in the Guard in here in Minnesota, and that's got to feel good when you join the organization to know that there's fellow veterans there.
Absolutely, and I think that in the work that I'm doing at Cargill, I continue to find those family members from the Guard and help them find their way to Cargill as well. And we just hosted an event last night at Cargill, and I saw a couple of people from my old unit there helping veterans get positions.
Well, Sheila, I hope you have great success at Cargill, and we'd love to have you back on the show to give us further reports. And Jason, we got about 30 seconds left. They're yours. Any final thoughts?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us. It's just always a pleasure to be with you on the show. Congratulations, and thank you for everything that you're doing, Tom. I mean, it's an invaluable service that you provide. The most important thing about what I think I heard Sheila talk about as it relates to Cargill is our values. And so when I think of veterans and I think of military service members, we're an easy place to bridge to because we espouse a set of core values that are very familiar to our veterans and service members. We want to do the right thing. We put people first. We want to reach higher and do more. It's a great place for us to transfer the same like-type values and skills as our military members, and they can come and feel comfortable at Cargill.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Jason McBurley and Sheila Jessen from Cargill on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll meet the VFW Department Commander. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the VFW Department Commander from Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Chalateau.
As Veterans Day approaches, you may find yourself asking what you can do to support Minnesota's military members, veterans, and their families. One way you can show your support is by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate. These license plates are special because they are a gift that will continue to give year after year. Each and every day as I drive my car, I'm proud to display a Support Our Troops license plate. So does my wife on her car. To purchase these plates, visit our local DMV or call 651-4-TROOPS. Drive home your support this Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Chalateau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Tom Hansen was elected Minnesota State Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States Department of Minnesota at their 99th State Convention on June 10, 2018 in Brooklyn Park. And he has some very special shoes to fill as the newly elected Department Commander. Those would be the shoes of his father, Mo Hansen, a legendary State Commander. Mo served the Department of Minnesota from 1969 to 1970, and this is the first father and son to have been elected as Minnesota State Commanders of the VFW. And Commander Hansen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
Sounds like this position as Department Commander is a family affair.
Well, thus far, there aren't any veterans in the family beyond me to carry on the tradition, but I'm so proud to have followed up on my father's service.
Well, it would have been fun if he'd have been here to see you elected.
Indeed it would.
But he's watching over you.
I'm hopeful.
And since he was legendary, he's probably helping you drive that car.
Well, that's my guess.
Tom, I understand you served in Da Nang in Vietnam in the United States Army.
I did indeed.
What years was that?
1971 to 1972.
And you were a cryptographic repairman?
I indeed was a cryptographic repairman.
What in the world is that, Tom?
Well, in Vietnam, back in the old days, we communicated with secret communications through coded messages, and essentially there was a gray box that was secret that all of these messages went through, and my job, as well as the other cryptographic repairman, was to ensure that the gray box was working. So
keep it running.
There you go.
Well, when you got back from Vietnam, I understand you joined VFW Post 1639 in Wilmer.
Correct.
And become the second state commander elected from the Wilmer Post, along with your father.
That is correct.
So you've been involved in VFW about as long as I have. I joined right after I came back from Vietnam as well. I ran into one, and so those World War II guys signed me up, and it was all over. So.
Well, that's the way it was.
Can you tell us a little bit about the VFW in Minnesota?
Well, the VFW of Minnesota obviously has a long tradition of greatness. As far as I remember, even as a child, as serving with or helping my dad as he was serving as a post commander in Wilmer, and then as well as a state commander. But you know, our ideals have not changed that much. We still foster ourselves in patriotism and a love for the military and watching out for military members when they deploy, and obviously when they come home, trying to ensure that the benefits that that they receive have not been deteriorated to a point of meaningless benefits. And we've got a strong voice in Washington, and essentially, you know, that's where our heart is in veteran service work and veterans legislation.
We're speaking with Tom Hansen, the VFW Department Commander, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Tom, I understand you spent many years as a county veteran service officer and then joined the VFW service office at Fort Snelling, and I think you were helping advocate for veterans' claims and so forth. So you spent a lot of your career helping veterans get the benefits that they had coming to them based on injuries that they suffered during their time in service.
Exactly. My whole career was veteran service. I did about 11 and a half years out in Candiota County, out in Wilmer, and then took over the assistant director's position at the VFW service office at Fort Snelling in 1984, and retired after 30 years with them. So I had little over 41 years worth of veteran service when I was done back in 2014.
So, Commander, you spent your whole life helping our veterans and their families, and once you retired, you started running through the chairs
commander. I did do that, and it's kind of, you know, I had some second thoughts about it, but then, you know, those second thoughts were mostly speculation on my wife's part. So,
what's he up to now?
She's she kind of had enough of the VFW, you know. So, but you know, she's been a trooper and hung in there with me. So we're good to go.
And so now you're traveling all over the state, talking to visiting VFWs and still helping veterans.
That's my job.
Well, I can see it. It's in your resume. You've been doing it.
Indeed.
One of the things that you get to do as the department commander of the VFW is to be a member of the Commander's Task Force.
Correct.
Which is made up of the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations, American Legion, VFW, DAV, Purple Hearts, all of those. And you get together monthly, and one of the things that I'm sure you're doing right now is putting together some legislative initiatives for next year for the state legislature.
That's correct. We did meet last week. And had a preliminary talk about what our objectives should be for the forthcoming legislative session. And it appeared that the highest priority was to convince the Minnesota legislature that the surviving spouses of veterans who had some tax relief should continue to get that benefit. So I think
that has to do with the property taxes.
Exactly.
And if a veteran has a service-related disability that's 80% or above, they get some property tax relief on their house. But when that veterans die, it doesn't automatically keep going for the spouse. And the spouse didn't get a raise when he died, or she died, did they?
That's a fact.
So you're trying to fight to keep that intact.
Indeed.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful thing. And one of the things that when you come back during the course of your year as commander, we're going to talk about Veterans Day on the Hill,
okay,
which is a big annual event. And,
sure.
We'll want to cover the rest of the legislative initiatives that you put together with your fellow commanders at the Commander's Task Force. And hopefully you'll be able to join us for the CTF, Commander's Task Force, Christmas show. And so we can talk about what the VFWs all over Minnesota are doing to help their communities around Christmas.
Excellent. Be happy to.
So we're going to have some fun this year. Now, as commander of the VFW, the State Department commander, there's usually a thing called a commander's project, where that's where you focus all the efforts for the state and on one particular item. What's your project for this year?
Well, my project is to see how many dogs we can buy for PTSD veterans. There's a Patriots dog company, if you will, up in Detroit Lakes that does a great job in training pets for dogs particularly dogs that PTSD veterans seem to do better with. It's a highly expensive endeavor. Each dog runs about $10,000, so
takes a long time to train those dogs for
this. It really does, and you know, if we can help out three or four veterans, even obviously my job has been accomplished. So,
Commander, we've had a couple of those groups in the studio with the veteran that has a PTSD dog, and the dogs really seem to settle them down, get them to be on an even keel. When I first saw it, I thought, is this going to work? But when you see it in action, it works. It's important.
Well, it really is. I've talked to several veterans that have had these service dogs, and, you know, they go nowhere without them. And I'm telling you, I just lost my dog, and it's heartbreaking. You know, it's like you've lost a member of the family. I can't imagine if it was a service dog, how difficult that would be, but our hope is that we can improve the life and the lifestyle of as many veterans as we can, for sure.
Now, Commander, we've got about a minute and a half left, but as part of the Commander's Task Force, what you do is combine your membership of the state of Minnesota VFW with the American Legion, the DAV, and the combined membership is what you represent when you go talk to the state legislators. So for our younger veterans today, that maybe haven't joined the VFW, be pretty important if they could join and just add their voice, add their number, so that when you're up to the state legislature, they're paying attention.
Well, that's so true, Tom. I mean, the only thing essentially that legislators seem to listen to are numbers, and if they hear that the service organizations have X number of voters, it means something to them. So, you know, I mean, not just that. Of course, you know, they've got a place in their heart for veterans, but at the same time, numbers speak volumes. So, you know, like any other service organization, we've reached a point where we're going to be getting older, if you will. And
no, we aren't, Tom.
So, I mean, the need for younger members in all the service organizations is essential. And one of my focuses as state commander this year was, in fact, to do that, to try and make our membership younger and recruit a number of current conflict veterans. And hopefully we'll have some success in doing that.
Well, Tom, I hope you have a great year. I want to thank you for coming to the studio to talk to us today, and looking forward to talking to you throughout the year so that we can tell all our listeners over Minnesota all the great work that the VFW does to help their communities.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's just delighted to be here.
Thank you, sir. That was Commander Tom Hansen, Department Commander of the VFW here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to celebrate 8 years of Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we've got a very special guest that's going to join us, who is the executive producer here at Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and his name is Andrew Lee. Mr. Lee, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Andrew, we've just got a few minutes in this segment, but you are the reason we're on the air, and this is the end of our 8th year. It's actually our 437th hour of programming. What did you get me into?
Wow. Congratulations, first of all. 8 years. That's amazing. You know, I couldn't have imagined what this show has grown into and what you guys have done with, you know, the little 1 hour on Sunday morning that I thought would be a good slot for a nice public affairs show that is catered to and about the people that serve our military.
Well, and when we started and I first met you and you told me about this show, I thought, uh-oh. And my wife says, if you can record it during the week, let's do it, because I always promised she could have Sunday mornings, and she still does. Mm-hmm. But we put together some partners, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, the Commander's Task Force, County Veteran Service Officers, the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We got a lot of partners here, and we're able to have in a whole lot of guests that we probably didn't imagine when we first started.
Well, and that's really the key, right? I mean, that's part of a big part of what's made the show so special, is that it's been embraced by all of these different aspects of the military community or ancillary to the military community. And that's something that I couldn't have foreseen. I mean, I did not expect that. You know, my idea and what I envisioned was just a nice, just a simple little show that, you know, told the stories of those who served, told the stories of active duty, told the stories of veterans, of families, because I think it's always important that people who haven't served have the ability to hear those stories. It's very easy to say, hey, I support the troops. But what does that mean? You know, what exactly are you supporting, and what does supporting the troops mean? And you don't know, you know, if you haven't served, you don't really know. And I think it's important to have some sort of outlet that gives people that sort of information and gives them tangible ways that they can support the troops. But the way that the National Guard specifically, and everybody that you mentioned, but the way that they embraced this show and supported it and made it something really special it blows me away every time I think about it.
And one of the things that happened along the way was early on we heard that they could not hear the show up at Camp Ripley because the signal wasn't strong enough. And I came and talked to you, and you talked to the bosses, and you said, go ahead and make that show available to outstate radio stations, which is really kind of unheard of in the sharing content with the competition. And so we started with two up in Little Falls, and as of a couple of months ago, we're now up to 56 stations all over Minnesota that listen to this show each weekend, probably about 300,000 listeners.
That's crazy. That's amazing. I mean, all I can say is congratulations and thank you for everything that you've done to make this show what it is. It's been a lot of work and a lot of, you know, a lot of elbow grease on your part and on your partner's parts to make this happen.
No, the support we've gotten from you and from iHeartMedia is incredible. And while we're talking about this, I'm envisioning you in a bunk out in the middle of the desert in Kuwait when we were over there doing live shows. Did you ever think that was going to happen?
No. No, not even a little bit. That was quite the experience, being able to travel and work with the folks from Serve Our Troops and go to Camp Arif John and do my shows and help bring them a steak dinner. No, that's not something that I ever really thought would come of this little 1 hour on Sunday morning show. But there I was, and there we were, and it was amazing.
And we've gotten you on a C-130 and a boss lift to Camp Ripley. We've taken you to Norway. You've been traveling on Black Hawk helicopters to give speeches with us. I don't think either one of us ever knew what was going to happen. And something really special also that happens along the way is we just finished this past Memorial Day, 8 years of programming. You turn your morning shows from 6 to 9 o'clock over to us, and I think we're putting on the best Memorial Day show in town.
I would agree. Otherwise, I wouldn't entrust you with my morning show.
Well, Mr. Lee, it's been quite a ride, and it's been an honor and a privilege to tell the story of, you know, we talk about suicide prevention, we talk about spiritual healing for our combat vets, we talk about Gold Star families. There's a lot of stories, and there's a lot of support in Minnesota for our troops and their families, and thanks to you and iHeartMedia, we're able to tell all those stories every week and keep building the network of stations. So thank you, Mr. Lee.
The honor is all mine, Tom. Thank you for all your hard work.
Mr. Lee, here we go, starting year number 9. I don't know where we're going to go, but I might get you back out to the desert again. And of course, Sergeant Ben's over in Kuwait with some equipment, so we're going to have some Red Bull updates all year from those 650 soldiers that are over there.
I'm along for the ride, man. Whatever you need, whatever I can do to help support this this amazing little project, I am on board for.
We'll try to give you some warnings before we take you back to hostile environments, Mr. Lee.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for joining us today.
Have a good day.
That was Andrew Lee, the executive producer here at Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and the guy that's responsible for putting us on the air. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, and welcome back to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. It's good to be back in my regular job.
I understand that the regional director retired, and it caused some shifting for a few months.
Yeah, so Janet Murphy, who was a terrific regional director, many years with the VA. She retired in May, and so I had the opportunity to go work in our VISN, Integrated Service Network regional office, for 4 months. And so it was a good change of pace. You know, as you know, I'm a retired Navy guy, used to moving around a lot, so it was a welcome opportunity to do something different, but I'm happy to be back in my regular job.
Well, I know that Ralph's filled in for you admirably, did a really good job, sir, but he was trying to keep us up to date on all the things going on, and kind of sounded like you might have to get your hard hat out again when you came back.
Fortunately, being in town, I was able to keep up a little bit with what's going on over here, but the pace is... things didn't stop when I left. Lots of things happening, lots of good progress, and I had a very capable crew here, as you know, that was taking care of business in my absence.
And, Director, I imagine you're still looking for some good employees to join your group out there.
Yeah, so we are always looking for particularly nurses and doctors, but, you know, all sorts of support staff. And we have over 4,000 people who work here, and just normal turnover means that we always have almost always have positions open in a variety of areas. So we'd love to have people who want to work for the VA, especially veterans. If you're interested in working for the VA, you know, you get a leg up. So we like having veterans work here.
Well, Director, as a patient out there, I can attest to the fact that the common theme, whether it's doctors, nurses, people just manning the phones, they all seem to really love taking care of our veterans and do a marvelous job.
Well, thanks, Tom. That's something we take pride in, and we really focus on that in our new employee orientation. That we're not a regular hospital, and we are not these aren't regular patients. So these are veterans, and we're very mindful of that when we take care of them.
Well, sir, that place has changed a lot since you've been there, and it's improving every year. And I hope to see that continue. I know, sir, that you have another town hall meeting coming up.
Yeah, so we have them at least quarterly. We've been having them even more frequently. But our next town hall is the 19th of November. That's a Monday, 6 to 8, here at the Medical Center. And as we have done, we're going to devote an hour, our first hour, to healthcare issues. In that town hall, we're inviting over, my new boss, who's the new VISN director, Mr. Rob McDivitt, a terrific guy. So Rob is going to be at that town hall. And we're gonna take questions. We're gonna introduce Mr. McDivitt, and then during the second hour, we will have the regional office over, and so they're gonna be dealing with benefits issues, and the cemetery's staff are gonna be coming over as well. So we'll have information on a lot of VA services, healthcare, suicide prevention, My Healthy Vet, eligibility issues, and then the regional office and the cemeteries will do their normal great job of bringing materials over, educating veterans on some of the opportunities and things that they're doing, especially things that they're doing that are new. So 19th of November, 6 to 8, right here at the Medical Center.
That'll be great, sir. And we're coming up, can't believe where the year went, but here comes November. Are you doing anything special for Veterans Day, sir?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Tom. This will be our fifth year where we sponsor a program here for our hospitalized veterans. So I know there's things going on around the Twin Cities, some very nice Veterans Day events, but a lot of our hospitalized veterans can't get there. So we sponsor an event here from 2:30 to 3:30, and it's going to be in our flag atrium, in our entryway. And last several years, we feature Major General George Steiner. He retired, Army, and the U.S. Army Band Ensemble, and, nice flag-folding ceremony, and it's usually a well-attended event, so in addition to our hospitalized veterans, anybody who's interested and they want to come and thank veterans and be part of the ceremony, we would welcome that. So that's going to be the 12th of November, 2:30 to 3:30 right here at the hospital.
Director, we just got a few seconds left, but it's flu season, so it's anytime veterans come out there, they can get their flu shots now.
Anytime. In fact, we've had the auditorium open the last 2 days for people to just walk in, but you can always see your doctor and strongly encourage people to get it. I just got mine yesterday, and it'd be the right thing to do. And we have plenty of vaccine this year, so come on in and get your flu vaccine.
Director, glad to have you back, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Nice talking to you.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We have one mention today. Mark your calendars for November 17th, as the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network will need all hands on deck for an old-fashioned huge packing event at Hugo City Hall, 9 o'clock starting time, as they pack and ship boxes to 650 soldiers of the recently deployed 34th Infantry Division. A big shout out to Saints Food Service, who found the grand slam of coffee donations and is going to have many, many cases of coffee to contribute. And they're also looking for Powerballs, nuts and bars, beef jerky, cookies, wash wipes, powered drink mix, those type of things. November 7th, Hugo City Hall. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jason McBurley and Sheila Jessen from Cargill, VFW Department Commander Tom Hansen, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Andrew Lee, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we're on the road again with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to celebrate Native American Heritage Month. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.